This is Matt Garcia. I'm here with Mary Gutierrez of Rialto, California. We're in San Bernardino on May 25th. Is today the 25th? 25th, 2006. Okay, thank you, Mary, for coming. You were telling me that your husband was a bracero and your father was a bracero.
Yeah.
Okay. So your father was a bracero. So you lived with a bracero in terms of your father, right? How much was he around when you were growing up, or was he?
Well, my mother was, they got married.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had us, me and my sister. And then I guess when we got about maybe 3 years old, they separated. They divorced.
When you were 3 years old?
Yeah, I think, well, I was a baby then, but I grew up, but my dad, I don't remember my dad much, you know, a lot,
mm-hmm.
until I was about, I guess, 7 or maybe 5 years old up, they started coming around.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember much about my dad. I think they were living together until we were growing up, say maybe 2 or 3. That's when my mom left him.
I see.
Because he was brutal and mean with my mother. That's why she divorced him.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember why there was this kind of conflict between them?
Well, they both drank, and they didn't get along. They would come. My dad would come in drunk and start beating on my mother and stuff. And they, you know, fight back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I can remember.
Then we lived, 5 years old.
I think I was 3 years old. We lived on Hope Street in Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
Then from there we lived on a ranch, and we stayed. I think I was about maybe 7 or 8 years old. We lived on the ranch, me and my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when they broke up, when we lived on the ranch.
And where was the ranch and what was grown there?
Well, he lived on a ranch. He had a Galliano winery. He worked for the Galliano winery. My dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he was passing out chips to the people.
Chips?
Yeah, for the grapes.
Okay.
Like coins.
Okay.
And that's what he was doing, mm-hmm. working for Donald Galliano Winery.
Okay.
And then
yeah.
he did other odds and ends, pruning the grapes when it's finished with picking the grapes. And he did other jobs, but in the field bag. I don't remember.
Was he a bracero at this time?
Mm-hmm.
And so he was...
He came over here when he was about... Well, he told me that he came when he was about... He came when he was little,
uh-huh.
to the United States. He was with friends, relatives. And... When he, you know, he was able to work, that's when he started working in the fields.
Mm-hmm. With the bracero program, you had to come for a certain period of time and then go back to Mexico.
Well, at that time, my mother was fixing his papers.
Okay.
But he did work in the fields.
Okay.
And then she was in the middle of fixing his papers.
Do you remember how he was able to go from being a bracero to a citizen?
No, he never became a citizen.
He never became a citizen. Okay.
Mm-mm.
At any time, was he in a kind of undocumented status?
No.
Okay. So he was a bracero.
Mm.
Okay.
As far as I can remember.
I see. Okay. And what did your mother do?
Nothing. She stayed home, took care of us.
I see.
God, I remember. Really got up when I was about maybe 5. Then she remarried, and my stepdad raised us up. My dad would come and visit us on visitation, but that was it. My stepdad raised us up until we became teenagers.
I see.
And me and my sister went to work. I helped my mom out.
And what kind of work did you do?
I worked in a restaurant, Wendy's restaurant in Corona.
In Corona?
Okay. I was there 3 years working for him. And then all of a sudden the owner died and she had to sell the place.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How many sisters and brothers did you have?
I only have one sister, me and my sister, just two of us.
Okay. Okay. And what did she do?
The same. She worked in Lindy's restaurant.
Okay.
She worked in the morning, I worked in the night.
Mm-hmm. Did your father ever talk about the Bracero program to you?
Mm-mm.
No. Okay. Did your mother ever talk about the effect of the Bracero program on her? No. Okay. Why don't you tell me about the kind of schooling you received?
Well, I went to. I started school when I was in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And went up until, went to school until the 11th grade, then I had to quit.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started working, when I got out of the 11th grade.
Okay. And you quit because you had to
support
contribute?
My mom.
Okay,
yeah.
To the family. Okay. And so at what point did you meet your husband, and how did you meet him?
Well, when I was about 18 or 19, I was working in Corona at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on a weekend. I'd come home and we had a friend there, but I didn't know who he was. My mom told me that it was her husband's cousin at the time. And he stayed for the weekend, and before then, my stepdad would send pictures of me to him and met in Fresno.
Mm.
And that's when he decided to come down to see. And we started playing games and stuff, me and my mom and him and her husband. And that's how we met.
Mm-hmm.
Then we decided, we waited maybe a month. Then we decided to go to Mexico. We got married. Oh, not Mexico. I went with him to Mexico so he can get his divorce.
Oh, he was married?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
He was married in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And he divorced her.
Okay.
Then when he got free, then we got married.
Hmm. And so he came north as a bracero, and he had a wife there.
Mm-hmm.
Did he ever talk about that family? Did he have a family there or just a wife?
No, he had family.
Okay. So he had children?
Mm-hmm. He had six by her.
Uh-huh.
And I had 2 children by him.
I see. So how old was he when you met him? And
he was in his 30s.
Okay. And how old were you?
We were 11 years apart.
I see.
I was 19 and he was 30-something, 36, I think.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I know we was 11 years apart.
Huh.
In our years.
Uh-huh. And so did he ever talk about that family there?
Yeah, he told me that he was married, that he was going to divorce his wife because they couldn't get along.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me he had children. You know, he would send them money until they got up in their age. when he left them, they were already teenagers.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
And he supported them until they were 18. That's when he stopped.
Hmm. Did you ever meet his children?
Yeah. He brought them all over here.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then the kids, his kids brought their mother over here.
Uh-huh.
But,
And did you meet her?
Yeah. First, I had three of the kids. His kids came and lived with us.
Mm-hmm.
And they were their teenagers when they came to live with us.
Mm-hmm.
But when they got working and got on their own, they left.
Mm-hmm.
Got married. And then when she came, when his kids fixed her papers and she came. At the time, we didn't get along then.
You and the ex-wife.
Yeah. And
felt hostility towards you, or?
Yeah, because you know, I married her husband, I guess. I don't know. But we wouldn't speak or nothing. And at that time, I was going to church, and I couldn't be that way, so I had to ask her for forgiveness. And she forgave me, and we became friends.
So you were friends, then?
Yeah. Well, not really friends, but, you know, I'd speak to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my husband died, then she was at the funeral, and then we were talking.
Hmm.
Before then, when she'd come down, we would, you know, speak in terms. Like when they had birthday parties and stuff like that, we would speak in terms like that. But we weren't really, really close, but I had to do it, you know, for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, when my husband died, then she became a Christian herself, so she had to forgive too.
Mm-hmm. What year did he die?
Well, this September it'll be 2 years.
Oh, really? So very recently?
Yeah.
Okay. Died.
November 11th.
November 11th. 2004. Okay. So he worked in Ontario?
You mean my husband?
Oh, your father worked in Ontario, right?
Yeah, he worked in Ontario on a ranch.
Okay. And then...
he worked in other places, but I think he worked in... what's it over there? Is it Calexico?
Mm-hmm.
Or
we were just in Calexico. We met a lot of...
They had a lot of fields there, right?
Yeah, Imperial County.
Yeah, they... he came and picked... cotton, some kind of fruits, but I can't remember what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, he went up north and was picking up there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what he was doing up north. He didn't say much.
This is your father?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he started working for Galliano.
Okay. That's wine.
He worked many years for him. That's like he worked for Galliano maybe 45 years.
Wow. Your father.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so your husband, Nicasio, where did he work as a bracero?
He worked up north. He did, he picked cotton, grapes. And he worked for Galliano. He worked for Galliano too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So he knew your father?
Yeah.
Okay.
My husband and him, they knew each other.
Uh huh. They were on good terms?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When we got married, we'd go over and see him every weekend and stuff.
So. He worked in Ontario as well. When you say he worked up north, was that Central Valley?
No, he worked in by Tulare. Rosita or something like that.
Okay.
He made a song up.
Oh yeah? Do you have a copy of it?
No. Well, I got no. Yeah, I have the CD, but
you have a CD.
Then he wrote it in paper.
So he has it transcribed, and he has a CD.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing we'd love to copy.
Well, I can bring it.
It'd be great it'd be great to have it. Even if I give you a card, if you don't want to bring it back today, we'd love to have it today. We can copy it, and you can have it and send you on your way. But if you can't do that, you can send it to me, and then I can copy it and then send it back to you.
Or maybe I can get a copy of it and then send it to you.
You could do that too.
You want both or just the?
I want both. I'd love to have the transcription, what's written,
mm-hmm.
and then
it's
really
in Spanish.
That's fine. We're taking most of our information's in Spanish. That's okay.
Okay, he made the song. It's name of the town, but he was more dedicating it to me when he wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
To both of us, I guess, because he mentions his first wife and me.
Do you remember how it went? Not sing it, but like just basically the contents of it. What was he saying about the first wife and you and the whole experience?
No, I really didn't pay attention.
But it was to you and the first wife.
Huh? I guess so, because he mentions, well, it's in Spanish, but he mentions something about his, you know, life and when he worked up there in Santa. I think it's called
Santa Rosa?
It's either Santa Rosa or Santa Anita or something like that up there.
Okay.
I can't think.
Now, what years did he work as a bracero?
I don't know.
How much younger was he than your father? Because your father would have been a part of the bracero program towards the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it went from 1942 to 1964.
Well, I think my husband started in 64, something like that.
Okay, I'll just...
Because he was coming here. He would come here to all the meetings and stuff.
Here at the Libreria de Pueblo. Okay. Okay. So do you know if he was eligible for the 10%? You know, the repayment. Did you know about that? Because he may have been coming for that reason.
How much money he's going to get?
They took money out of their their pay,
mm-hmm.
and then they never got that money.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that Libreria del Pueblo is advocating for.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know about whether he did that or not.
Well, he was coming here. He, you know, they did the paperwork and everything, so I guess so.
Uh-huh.
He knew what it was about.
I see. Well, tell me about, you know, your life with your kids. How did they accept the fact that they had half-brothers and sisters in Mexico? And did they get along? Because they came here.
Yeah.
So did they get along like brothers and sisters, or what was the relationship like?
Well, when my husband fixed his son's papers and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they had one daughter, they came over here, but I didn't know him at that time. And then when we met, we got married, and I had my first son in 71, and then 5 years later, I had my second child. And when they growed up, that's when they met their stepbrothers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No, I take that back. Him and my husband and my two boys went with them to Mexico a lot. And that's how they met them over there.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew each other for the time and stuff. Then when we got married with my first child, that's for one of the, I don't know if there was two boys came, And two, they met on the ranch. They lived on the ranch too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they got more acquainted with, you know, his, my two boys acquainted with his boys.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, they call, my boys, you know, call each other stepbrothers.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So they have really good relations then, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All the time when they go to Mexico, they would, he would take his two boys.
Because
I couldn't go.
Because
I was working at the time.
Right.
So, I couldn't go. I got divorced in 86.
Why don't we talk about that? You divorced Nicasio?
Mm-hmm. No, he divorced me.
Oh. Can you talk about that? Or is it too difficult?
No.
Okay.
When I was at home, he would come in drunk, fight. I noticed he'd have, you know, lipstick on his collar, shirts, white shirts. And I would ask him, who was he with? And he would say, it's none of my business. You know, he would say, it was nobody. I said, don't hand me that. I can see it on your collar. You had to be with some woman. You got lipstick all over you. And he was drunk, and we got to arguing, and he cussed me out, and we would fight. And it happened. It was happened all the time when he was working. He would come home, maybe 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30 in the morning, and that's when we would fight every time he came in. He was late. And then after that, he was fine. And all of a sudden, he came home and he beat me up. He kicked me. When we lived in Sierra, that's when he kicked me. And I couldn't walk for a week. And my mom came up when she was suspicious because I wouldn't go. I didn't go see my mother for a week, maybe a week and a half. And she got worried, so she came over. And she asked me, what's wrong? I said, you know, I told her it was nothing. And she knows I couldn't walk. I said, what's wrong with your leg? And I said, well, me and Nick got in a fight, and he beat me up, kicked me. My mother got mad, she, you know. So when she'd see him, she would tell him, why'd you do that to my daughter? And he told her it was none of his, you know, her business, not to interfere. She says, it is my, my mother said, it is my business because she's my daughter, and I have the right to know.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't tell her, but he said, if you ever hit my daughter, get her and beat her up, I'll take care of you personally. So
she said that to him.
Mm-hmm. So my mother didn't. She didn't really like him.
Even from the beginning?
Yeah.
Why?
Because for one, he was too old for me. And two, he was running around with a lot of women.
Even before he got married? And you knew?
No, I didn't know that.
You didn't know.
Mm-mm. And so then I got to the point where he threw me out of the house. And he told me to leave, and I told him, no, I'm not leaving. The one who's going to leave is you. So when I called the cops, they came out, and they took him to jail because they saw me that I was, you know, beat up. And when he got out, that's when he told me to leave. So I said, if I go, I'm taking my kids. He says, no, you're not taking the kids. They stay with me. So then I didn't have no place to go, so I went to my cousins in Redlands. I told her my problem. She said, well, come here.
Where were you living before then?
I was living in Rialto on Lorraine. And then I was working in Redlands at a Circle K. And all of a sudden, some sheriff guy came in and asked me if I was Mary Gutierrez. I said, yeah. No, Mary Fernandez, we were married then.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, I'm Mary Fernandez, why? And he handed me some papers. So I opened them up and they were divorce papers.
He divorced you?
Mm-hmm. Well, see, what the problem was, when he threw me out, I was working, but I wasn't dating or nothing at that time. After 6 months, then I said, oh, heck, what's, you know, I need to, you know, go out and stuff. But at that time, I didn't have a chance to go out. He would come to the store and meet me there. We'd talk and stuff. And every time, he would bring the kids so they can visit me at my work.
So you were without your kids?
Yeah.
When you left?
He wouldn't let me take them. So he went to court and had witnesses, and they lied for him. They lied against me, that I was trying to say that I was an unfit mother, and he divorced me for adultery, I guess you'd call it. But he never caught me with no guy. Only time he, well, see, I didn't know this. When I was working, we would meet at the store, and he invited me to go to the show. So we went to the show in Riverside, mm-hmm. and we went in, we had to wait in line, and I didn't know my kids, and he was there. And they saw us in line hugging, you know, and he kissed me, and my kids were there, and he was there, and he saw all that. And that was the reason he got the divorce for that. And when I went upstairs, it shocked me. Because I ran into my youngest son. And I said, hi. I told him, hi, Migo, what are you doing here? He says, nothing, we're here at the show. And I knew then, you know, because one of the clerks that worked with me, she called, when I left to go to the show with him, she called my husband and told him that I was on my way to Riverside to the show.
Mm-hmm.
They beat us there.
Mm.
And I didn't know they were there. But that's why, you know, he did what he did.
Mm-hmm. What did your kids think?
Oh, I don't know. As soon as my youngest son saw me, he wouldn't let me hug him or nothing. He ran back and told his dad. And so as soon as I see my son, I ran down. I ran down the stairs. Well, I went to go to the bathroom. I ran down and told him, come on, let's go. He says, why? Are we going to see the movie? I says, no, we can't because my husband's here with my two boys. So we left. Because I was afraid he would come down and they would fight in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
So we left.
So, did you ever reconcile with your son or with your children?
Well, when this all happened, I didn't see my kids until we went to court. And that's when the judge, you know, gave me visitation rights. I had my boys on when the school's out, the summer, and on weekends. And I'd have to take them back at a certain time on Sunday. Sunday before 6, I had to have the boys back.
Uh-huh.
That's the only way, you know, I could have seen my kids. But the time when they saw me, I didn't see them for 6 months until I got served with the papers.
You only had sons?
Yeah, two boys.
Okay. Did you ever remarry?
No, I wouldn't. Yeah, I remarried, but I didn't know it was legal. He was married, and I didn't know that. So when I found out that he was married, and I went to court and got how do you say it?
An annulment?
Yeah.
Yeah. I see. Well, how did things end up with your ex-husband? You went to his funeral, so did you ever have communication with him
after the divorce? After all this passed, I would go and see my boys to his house,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, do what I had to do, you know, for him, cook and stuff, clean the house. And then we would talk on the phone, me and my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the point, you know, usually on the weekends I'd go over. He lived in Rialto then. No, he lived on Merle. Or Randall, and that's when my son when we lived, he got hurt, my son, when he was 15, my youngest one.
Mm-hmm.
We lived in San Bernardino on Waterman Gardens. Mm-hmm. He got hurt. No, wait a minute. We lived on 17th Street. He got hurt. He wanted to use our car. At 15, he didn't have no license or insurance. And he asked me, and I told him no. Then he asked his dad, and he said no. So my son left upset, you know. So my son went to his somewhere, and I didn't hear from him until around 5 o'clock I got a phone call that he got hurt at Santa Ana River. He was diving off a bungee cord into the Santa Ana River, and when he hit bottom, it severed his spinal cord. And then we had to go to the hospital. He was in Riverside Hospital for 3 months, and they had him a helmet on his head. They had him tied down weights so he could move for 3 months, and then after that they transferred him to Loma Linda University, and he was there another 3 months. And then he came home, then I took care of him for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And it was getting to the point where I couldn't do it no more because I was getting sick myself from taking care of my son 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it no more, so that's when I called his dad to see if he can come and help, you know, with our son. He didn't. He did and everything. My son was 17 at the time, but he decided... I told him, well, you're going to have to take over because I can't take care of my son no more. Doctor said if I didn't quit, I was going to have a nervous breakdown and be in the hospital myself. So that's when I got my sister-in-law. My daughter-in-law came in. I had, you know, people coming in see if they can, you know, take care of my son. But when the people that I had coming to take care of my nurse, they would come in 2 days, and I noticed when they take care of my smell, you know, they were doing pot, weed. My son got involved in drugs when he was 13. He lived in Mira Loma. Got with the wrong crowd, was doing drugs, and I didn't know this at the time until I had the nurses coming in. They were doing drugs too then at the time. And I did not. You know, I smelt marijuana, but I didn't know for sure if it was coming from, you know, I couldn't accuse anybody yet. Then I noticed when they'd leave, my son would be, he act weird. And I asked him, what's wrong with you? He said, oh, nothing, Mom. So then I asked my daughter if she wanted to take care of him. So she came in, I had to show her what to do, everything with my son. So she took over from there, from after that. So she's been taking care of my son for 15 years. No, wait a minute. More than that. 16, and he's 29 now.
Who is this that took over?
The one that got my daughter-in-law.
Your daughter-in-law.
She come and do his home care.
So how does she... She was the daughter of...
No, she was my daughter. My son's wife, oldest son's wife.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
My son got married.
Uh-huh.
Well, my son was living with me when he decided he wanted to get married at 15. Uh-huh. So we had to go to Las Vegas to marry him. And then...
At 15?
Yeah. Well, I guess they had to because she got pregnant. He went to they would go to Mexico, and I guess my son got her pregnant over there. And that's why he brought her over here. Mm-hmm. Then they got married. Mm-hmm. Then they had my first grandson. Mm-hmm. At that time, she wasn't taking care of my young son.
Your youngest son was the one that had the accident.
Mm-hmm.
So did he lose mobility? And?
Yeah, he was paralyzed from the waist down.
From the waist down. So he's a paraplegic.
Mm-hmm.
Motion,
yeah, he can move his head and stuff.
Uh-huh.
From here up, he can. Well, his hands are like that, but he hasn't had, you know, if he'd had exercise stuff, his hands would
paralysis
be...
paralysis.
Yeah. They're stiff.
I see.
Not paralysis. They're just stiff for not getting exercise.
Uh-huh.
And...
So, at this time then, what was your husband or ex-husband doing for him and for the family? Was he sending money? Was he showing up? Was he doing anything in terms of helping out?
No, he wouldn't do nothing because I had to pay child support. The court had me pay child support because he wasn't working. He was getting welfare. The second I had to pay child support. And then after they got 18, then I paid it. I didn't have to pay it no more.
How did you pay it? I mean, what kind of work were you doing?
I was a clerk for Circle K.
So you were a clerk and also trying to take care of him at the same time?
No.
Oh.
He took over then because I couldn't do it no
more. The husband? The ex-husband?
Mm-hmm.
But then how long did that last?
My oldest son.
Yeah.
And his dad, they took care of his brother. And when he married my daughter-in-law, she took over. Well, I had to show her what to do and everything, you know, before she took the job.
Yeah. Hmm. Tell me about the ex-wife at this time. Were you friends through this period of time?
No, she at that time, they lived up north.
I see.
She hardly came around.
Okay. At what point did you start to have a friendship or a relationship with her?
Like when they come down, like parties and stuff.
I see. So it wasn't constant, it was just whenever mm-hmm. you saw them. Okay. Do you remember how your ex-husband became, or when he became a resident here? When he became a...
Yeah,
he switched from being a bracero to...
Yeah, I
did he become a citizen?
No.
Okay, so he became a
well,
resident.
Well, at that time he didn't. I fixed his papers.
You did?
Yeah. And then after that, I'd say maybe when he was about 55.
Mm-hmm.
No, wait a minute. Let's say when he was in, I don't know if it was when he was 50 or... He went and became an American citizen.
So he never really went back to Mexico?
No.
He stayed here and then became... Mm-hmm. Okay. And when was that? You said he was in his 50s, but what years was that he became a citizen?
I don't know. I have the picture.
Okay.
I don't know if it was in the... I don't know when he became an American citizen.
Mm-hmm.
I have it on the frame that...
Well, it was after the Bracero program.
Yeah.
Because it went from 1942 to 1964.
Mm-hmm. It was after that.
Yeah. Okay, let me look at some more questions. Your story is so interesting, I just went away from the questions. Maybe you could talk about his death and what happened at that time. How did he die? What happened at the funeral?
Well, he started, as far as we know, he was in good health until about here maybe 2 years ago or three, he started getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
For one, he had diabetes. And he was getting treated for diabetes. After the 2 years, he seemed to be getting worse and worse. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor said that he might have cancer. So they ran a bunch of tests. And when they got the results, he did have had cancer.
Hmm.
He had it in the colon.
Okay.
No, on the prostate, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would go to the doctor and get treatments and stuff. When he was in the hospital the last time, that's when
colon
he was...
cancer?
No, prostate.
Prostate. Okay.
When he was in the hospital, they started getting worse.
Okay.
And they run more tests and found out that it was all through his body. They gave him... at first, they told him they gave him six to... 6 months to live. And they told him to go home. Then he was getting worse and worse. Then he went back, and they told him, well, I hate to say this, but you have one to two weeks to live. And he did the 2 weeks. He was deteriorating.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, the second week, he passed away.
Wow.
Passed away September 11th, 2004. I was with him at the time. That's when I would come. When I knew that he was sick, that's when I'd come and be with him through the day. Up until
September?
Yeah.
Okay, because I had written down
September 11th, uh-huh. 2004.
Okay, so, yeah, you were with him. So, go ahead.
I was with him from that time until he passed away. No, when the doctor told him he had maybe 1 to 2 weeks to live, that's when I started coming over to be with him and my other son that's in the bed, quadriplegic,
mm-hmm.
to be with both of them. My son knew that his dad was dying, both of my sons. They took it hard, especially when they found out that he had 1 to 2 weeks to live. And then I was with him all that from morning until, I'd say, 8 o'clock I went home.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd come back next day, take care of him, clean the house, cook.
Mm-hmm.
And the last 2 weeks, I started staying nights there because he couldn't be by himself. My oldest son asked me if I'd come stay at nights because he was getting, you know, worse. So I did. I came and stayed the 2 weeks, day and night. Then on the last week, he passed away. We had Ostis. They came in and took care of him for the 2 weeks. And sure enough, the second week he died.
And so...
And then yeah. We made arrangements. My son was making the arrangements for his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he was letting all the family know. And they all came down and they had a wake for him.
Mm-hmm.
On the wake, when they interviewed his body, we went and seen him. That's when all the family were there. We would talk about his sickness until, you know, they buried him the next day.
Mm-hmm.
A cemetery, we all got together, and my husband loved mariachi music. So they came and played at the cemetery. And all the family and friends got together until, you know, they covered him. We had to leave when they started burying him. That's it.
What did your son think about his abuse of you?
Well, they didn't believe it because he told them a lot of lies. They believed his dad more than me. They had hatreds again. I don't know what he told him got in his head. But after that, my youngest son came and stayed with me for a year. He lived with me for a year. We lived in Redlands with my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, he went back home. That's about all I remember there. They wouldn't come and see me or nothing till after the court, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then he started coming around. He told him a bunch of stuff about me. Because when my boys got back, when my boys got big, my youngest son told me what his dad said. And I tell him
what he said?
That I wasn't no good. I was running around, this and that. And like I told my sons, just because I went to a show with a guy doesn't mean I was running around. And I said, well, if you want to believe your dad than me, well, you know, that's your problem. Mm-hmm. So they got over it after I told my sons that it wasn't all my fault. He was the one that was running around. My mom and aunt got a picture of him going into a motel with a woman. They didn't believe that. Mm. Like I told my mom, well, she had the picture, but I don't know what happened to that picture. And I told my kids and they didn't believe it.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious about, you said that you prefer to speak English.
Mm-hmm.
Did he speak English or did he speak Spanish?
No, he spoke Spanish when I met him. I had to teach him English. And he went to school too at night for English. Mm-hmm. But he didn't speak it real good, but he could speak English.
So when he spoke to you, it was in English or Spanish?
No, Spanish mostly.
Mostly.
Mm.
I see. Okay. Pretty close to the end here. Do you still stay in touch with his ex-wife?
No.
After he died, that was it.
Okay. Well, maybe if they come down, if she comes off. Oh, you know, I'll talk to her and stuff. But other than that, I'll keep in touch with them.
So, in closing, what effect do you think the being a bracero or being associated with the bracero program had on your life? Whether it be your father or your husband?
Well, like when I come to the meeting stuff, it's all in Spanish. And I don't understand what they're saying, you know, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to ask Rosa, Martha, to tell me, you know, what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
What are they talking about? And she'll tell me a little bit, but that's as far as she gets. So, you know, to me, it's a good, the way I think the Brosettos, when they came, they did work, you know, and they didn't, like, they worked in the fields and they had their money taken out. I think they deserve to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
Every Broseto that worked, I think they should get their money back. Like, now they're saying that we probably won't get our money.
Right, that's
because he's deceased, and they're saying probably not, we probably won't get it. I said, well, if they didn't do that a long time ago, why did they make us go through all this paperwork and stuff? I spent a lot of money.
Oh, really?
You know, trying to get the information from my mom, from my husband, and my dad. And now we find out we probably won't get paid. To me, I don't think that's right. I think the Bursetta should get their money.
Why aren't they going to give you money? Because he's not alive?
No. Well, the Mexican government over there in Mexico, they don't want to give them their money.
Hmm.
So that's, you know, as far as that, I didn't understand what they were talking about that part either.
Right.
Last night when they were talking about it.
Right.
Like everybody at the meeting last night, they were mad. I said, you know, that's not right.
Right.
Especially the government they have over there. They to me, I don't understand because they give some of the brochettes that went over, they got their money. Why can't we get ours? And the government over there, the Mexican president, says they don't have the money to pay us. It's not our fault, you know, they spent the money.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think they should get the money and pay us. That's how I feel.
How much did you spend?
Oh, I don't know. I'd say paperwork and everything. I'd say around maybe close to 300 for me and my dad. I mean, for my dad and my husband.
Okay.
Because my sister didn't have the money, so I had to, you know, do it for her.
So you have documentation that they were braceros?
Oh yeah, I got the, they got the paperwork and stuff. Besides, they took all of our paperwork to, it's over in Mexicali.
Right.
The consul over there, but, you know, like they already paid the other braceros, and then we find out that we can't get ours. That's why all the braceros are mad. They want their money.
Yeah.
And I think they deserve it. I think they should get it.
Yeah.
No matter what that president over there, they got money over there in the bank. They could give it to us. They're saying they don't have it. They spent it.
Yeah. Wow.
As far as that's what I understood, that's what Martha was saying.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like...
They're saying, well, we might get it. They want us to put $50, the oros or whatever that means.
Yeah.
They want all the braceros to put the $50. We'll do it, but as a guarantee that we're going to get our money. That's why, you know, to me, I don't want to spend any more money.
Yeah.
If we're not going to get paid, what's the use of spending money?
Right. Well, it sounds like you had a very tough life.
Yeah, I did.
My
mother got sick. I had to take care of her, work. It was, you know, I had a bad life, I guess. The way my mother and dad didn't raise us right. When we were young kids, you know. Well, my mother didn't let us date or nothing. All we did was work.
Uh-huh.
But that's how I met my husband in our home when we lived in Corona. With my ex, my stepdad and my mom. My stepdad and him were cousins. So that's how I met my husband.
I see.
That's all I can remember.
Well, Mary, I really appreciate it.
Okay.
It's a very valuable history. It'll be part of the National Museum of American History. And, you know, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
So if you want a copy of that, how would I get it to you?
A copy of?
The CD that I have for my husband.
I'll give you my card.
Okay.
And you can send it to me.